The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Well, welcome back. Friday, March 8th, 2024. I am Seth Leibson, coming to you live from the Patriot Broadcast Studio, which is brought to you by the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, your trusted source for precious metals. Mr. Bill, welcome. Young David, David Dahl, my producer, welcome. Good to see you, man.
Hi.
Well, where to start? Let me give out the phone number, 602-508-0960. Along with some friends last night, I took the advice I'd been spreading around lately, C.S. Lewis's advice. A, not to think too much about politics, and B, when something wicked this way comes, let it find us doing sensible and human things. Lewis's examples were praying, working, teaching, reading, listening to music, bathing the children, playing tennis, chatting to our friends over a pint and a game of darts. For the record, I was not bathing children or playing tennis last night during the State of the Union address or its response. By the way, young David, if I might, does the Dirty Drummer have darts? I don't even know if they have darts at the Dirty Drummer. I know they have a pool table. Do they have darts at a game of darts? Do they have a dartboard?
We interrupted a talk about the State of the Union to ask producer David Dahl if the Dirty Drummer has a dartboard.
Yeah, does it?
I have no idea.
Okay, we need to talk to we need to talk to the suits at the Dirty Drummer so we can distract ourselves from politics by playing darts, per C.S. Lewis. I experiment in being probably one of the few who just didn't turn the television on last night. I think my experiment may have been successful. More on that in a moment. First, a line or two on a phrase that I just used, something wicked this way comes. That's from a Ray Bradbury novel. You know it, Scooter? Scooter, do you know the Ray Bradbury novel, Something Wicked This Way Comes? Where the antagonist, the evil person haunting the community, is literally, as much as literarily, one Mr. Dark. That is his name. That's the character's name in Something Wicked This Way Comes. The phrase Something Wicked This Way Comes is originally from Shakespeare's Macbeth, of course, appropriately spoken by a witch, predicting the ultimate downfall of the power-hungry Macbeth, who authors his own decline by his lust and evil quest for power. Ray Bradbury picks up on the phrase to frighten, using the scene of a carnival in his novel of the same title. And who is the protagonist in the Bradbury novel? Of course, the antagonist, really, Mr. Dark, who, as I say, is an evil person, seemingly fooling the community as someone who is innocent. I couldn't help but think of it, I guess, with the memes of Dark Brandon as a euphemism for Joe Biden, a euphemism meant to show Joe Biden's superpowers, a euphemism or pseudonym even the New York Times was deploying wishfully in yesterday's edition of its paper, saying we hope to see Dark Brandon at the State of the Union tonight. Something wicked this way comes, Mr. Dark. Mr. Dark in the Bradbury novel is killed off by something he simply cannot handle, something evil can't handle. Love. Love. Love kills Mr. Dark in the novel. Now, just so you don't think I remained ignorant over what was given to such general attention last night, I did read the State of the Union speech. And while I did read a bunch of reviews of it as well, here's my conclusion about why Mr. Dark or Dark Brandon will not be so easily defeated. There was no love in the speech last night. There was no love in the president's State of the Union. There was war and there was anger. There was the reviving of January 6th, then the tying of the Republican Party to Vladimir Putin. There was a series of verbal volleys tying the Republican Party to a threat to democracy with the then clever deployment of this sentence, quote, "You can't love your country only when you win," close quote. Only for Joe Biden, Dark Brandon, and Mr. Dark to then follow the right up by saying, quote, "I ask you all, without regard to party, to join together and defend our democracy." He said that just after saying one party was opposed to democracy. Policy differences were described as threats to freedom. In his Jeremiad, he then spoke to the Supreme Court and Republicans, yelling, "My God, what freedom will you take away next?" You heard that, Mr. Bill. It's been long said there are no closed questions in an open society, but it is clear today's Democratic Party or its president does not believe that. They believe questions should be closed, which raises an even more interesting question in and of itself. Why have a democracy? Isn't democracy about choosing and not just who, but what? In fact, isn't it the mark of an authoritarian regime as much as a totalitarian regime that cares more about who governs than how governments are organized? The speech had its share of other policy proposals and its share of unreconstructed nonsense, too. That part on Israel was precious. Well, there was no both sidesism at the top of the speech with regard to Russia and Ukraine, where, by the way, hundreds of thousands have been killed, as I believe there are not two sides there either, at least not two sides with equal moral claims. That was and evidently not true when it comes to Israel and Hamas. There was in the speech plenty of both sidesism there. On that one, Joe Biden said, quote, "This war has taken a greater toll on innocent civilians than all previous wars in Gaza combined. More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas," close quote. Each and every one of those sentences is problematic. A, what are the previous wars in Gaza? Was Gaza an independent entity before Israel made it so in 2005? B, the 30,000 number is from one side, the side that is not America's ally, the side that is governed by the very Hamas Joe Biden, three sentences prior, had just explained was a terrorist organization. And it's a number that has raised a lot of eyebrows, not because of its size, but because of all the inconsistencies independent reporters have found in getting to that 30,000. See, for example, Tablet Magazine online yesterday for one particular excellent write-up that shows the number to be an impossibility. And finally, see that most of the deaths are not Hamas. That's a clever one he snuck in there. I wonder if Joe Biden can point to a single solitary war where most of the deaths were actually combatants. He can't. You know why? There isn't one. In fact, in this war, the combatant to civilian death toll in the war in Gaza is far lower by a factor of five than the average of most wars. Oh, and yesterday it was reported, by the way, airdrop of supplies. Do you see this, Mr. Bill? America did an airdrop of supplies to Gaza, killing five Gazans in the airdrop. I wonder if Joe Biden will denounce himself or his own country. Charlie Kirk was making the case this morning that with the approval numbers Joe Biden received from the speech last night, this election to him is quite simply not in the bag. Where's in the bag? There's a better phrase than not in the bag. I didn't mean not in the bag. It's not settled, of course. It's not in the can. Here's your headline from the Washington Post, quote, "Fiery Biden takes on GOP, makes case for second term," close quote. Fiery Biden takes on GOP, makes case for second term. Just so you see, there are no talking points, confused as journalism. Here's the front page of the New York Times. Quote, "After fiery address, Biden takes message to battleground states." Close quote. Fiery. That's their word at the New York Times as well. That's the new word. I suppose it sanitizes angry. And we'll be looking forward to seeing more of that. Washington Post, New York Times headlines. Both say Joe Biden's speech was fiery. Oh, by the way, front page of Washington Post to accompany fiery Biden takes on GOP. Front page of the Washington Post. Mr. Bill, you get this. Quote, "A lot of moms can't see themselves in Kate Britt's kitchen." That was a headline on the front page of the Washington Post. "A lot of moms can't see themselves in Kate Britt's kitchen." You bet. And a lot of men can't see themselves in Joe Biden's. And a lot of women don't go the route of Kamala Harris to succeed in their professions. But it's good that the front page of the Washington Post has Biden as fiery, taking on the GOP, while GOP women are not representative of women. And so it goes, where we in the Republican Party are just always going to be the away team. No getting around it. A word on doing sensible and human things, as promised. Doing human and sensible things as opposed to watching the State of the Union last night. A thought experiment or test. How much will it be on your mind or affect you tonight, the State of the Union from last night? Did it have durability? Will it last? Will it have consequence? I think the answers are little, if any, no and no. It was a politicized instrument as opposed to a serious political instrument that will constitute little more than a one-day series of praises that can be reduced to this. For an hour on one night, Joe Biden could stand and read a speech. And that judgment will be rendered meaningless the very next time he tries to make a statement in public or answer a question from anyone. And that's what we'll be enduring for at least the next 8 months. Anger, bitterness, divisiveness, unfairness from the press, but not last night. And that is why sometimes, on one-shot events others think important, the sensible and human is the better choice, the more durable. Welcome back to the Seth Liebson Show. I guess this, if we're coming back with the Bee Gees, it would make me ask young David, what's with the cravat?
The cravat?
The thing around your neck.
It's a neckerchief?
It is. Please, young David. What year is this?
I don't know.
1977?
Yeah. Hey, do you know who I learned about last Saturday? From a mutual friend of ours.
Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself gavotte. That's not the same as cravat. No, what are you trying to tell me? What did you learn last
week? Speaking of the Bee Gees,
yeah.
Do you know whose music a mutual friend of ours named Daryl showed me?
No.
Andy Gibb.
Yeah, what about him?
Do you know who that is?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I'm not a
cousin.
I'm not a Philistine.
Of Barry Gibb and the brothers Gibb, the Bee Gees. And did you know that the Bee Gees were backing vocals on many of his songs? You knew about all of this?
David, first of all, he was the brother of all the Gibbs. They were all brothers.
They were all brothers?
Yes, you're debasing yourself with this. Okay. Mr. Bill had to rush in on this point.
I'm here to save you from Gibbons talk.
Yeah.
I mean Gibbs.
Gibbs talk. First of all, they were all brothers. Maurice, Robin, Barry, Andy, first of all. He was the youngest. Now, do you want to continue, or shall I continue?
I was told it was the cousin.
Yeah, well,
obviously, I was misinformed.
Evidently, I was misinformed. Yeah.
It seems I was misinformed.
What brings you in, Mr. Bill?
I learned this week, Seth, that...
Oh, we're doing what we learned this week for Fun Friday.
I guess so.
What you learned wrongly this week is that...
I wonder if it's still true, though, that they
were all brothers?
They were backing vocals, I mean.
Yes, they were all... Yes, of
and
course.
And here I thought I was going to stump you.
Did you know that Ringo Starr was not the original drummer for the Beatles? Did you know that... Yes, go on. Yes, Mr. Bill, what did you learn this
Sammy,
week?
Basketball was invented by the ancient Celtics. What I learned this week is kind of fitting in with things that you've talked about, that it's 2024. We can't have nice things anymore.
Yeah, there's a suck.
We can't have gift cards anymore.
No, why?
They get digitally stolen so often before you can use them. So I'm not going to bother ever.
Did you get
ever.
A gift card stolen, Bill?
I sure did, David.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's that problem, and then there's the problem of people getting emails that you have to go get gift cards for someone because of an emergency having to do with...
Oh, yeah. Don't fall for that scam. Grandson is in trouble.
Your grandson is in trouble. It's the birthday of my niece, who happens to be the daughter of the deposed king of Cambodia
that
Senegal or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Can we press on now that we've all...
I think we should.
You gave us a nice consumer tip, so thank you, Mr. Bill. Young David, you're going to have to come back with a better piece of wisdom.
I've got a better piece of consumer advice.
Okay.
Don't buy your friends gift cards. Buy your friends tickets to our upcoming event this March 26th, Fighting for Freedom Arizona Christian University. In fact, we'll give you a discount with the code SETH5OFF. That's Seth, the number 5, O-F-F, off.
Can I tell you something, young David, that a listener, Christy, is telling me right now? Do you know what the Bee Gees stands for?
No.
Brothers Gibb.
Yeah.
Yeah, brothers, not Kijis, not Cousins Gibb, brothers Gibb.
Well, yeah, but...
Stop while you're ahead. Just thank you, Christy. A little adult supervision around here goes a long way. Did I hear Seb Gorka has his own gun?
Yeah, you want to talk about consumerism. Yeah. I think there needs to be a Seth Leibson gun.
There certainly does.
Seb Gorka can sell, I think it's a Desert Eagle that he's selling on his show.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be a Seth Leibson 357 Magnum.
No, an RPK, I think.
An RPK?
There's that picture of me holding
in Israel.
Yeah, in 1974, when I was just a young lad holding the RPK.
Still working on the contract with the Romanians.
It's floating around on Twitter X, that picture when I was, how old would I have been? Very young. Me holding an RPK in Israel in 1974. You can find it online. Yeah.
I think we should make the Seth Leibson version.
Yeah, we totally should.
Sell it to our listeners.
Yeah, we totally should.
Make a little bit of profit.
All right.
Have a range day.
Okay. Now let's press on. Did any of you see the pre-State of the Union, I guess, promotion that Joe Biden did with the fictional actors who played presidents in various movies, where he had Bill Pullman and Morgan Freeman and Michael Douglas and Gina Davis? Did you see this? He does a Zoom call. This was, 2 days ago. This was the most absurd thing. He does a Zoom call with literally Morgan Freeman, Michael Douglas, Gina Davis, and Bill Pullman. Someone else I don't remember. And he says something to them like, you know what a big speech I have coming up, the State of the Union. Any advice you'd have for me in delivering my speech? He asks them. And yeah, really weird. Really weird. I'm wondering if there was anyone in the political office who said, maybe not. Or his family. He looked like he had no idea. Look it up, Bill. Go find President Biden talking to presidential actors. He looks like he doesn't know who they are. And even if he does, he certainly doesn't know the movies they're talking about. It's just awful. But a lot of them, as their actors, you know, were giving advice. So Morgan Freeman said something like, I believe you have to give a message of hope. I think someone like Gina Davis said something like, I don't remember what she said. I have the story in front of me. Gina Davis said, it seemed like every week there was some new crisis that I had to face. I know from experience, obviously, what a tough job it is. He says, you did a hell of a job. She says, I do feel I should just point out that one thing that always rears remembering, there's no crying in politics. So none of it was any good advice, except for Morgan Freeman's, who I think, you know, I don't agree with on so much, but is, I think, a serious man, a serious actor. He has some heft. He's someone I would want to listen to about things generally, especially in our culture. Douglas gave him from the American president. Michael Douglas gave him some advice. Love and compassion, he said. I would speak love and compassion. My point in this, aside from the political optics, which were silly at best, and exposing Joe Biden as just not with it or infirm at best, is that none of it was even used. He didn't use any of the good advice he got from Michael Douglas or Morgan Freeman. I mean, we are living in some kind of odd, really odd imaginatory moment here where we're conflating the real and the fake, the ersatz and the true. And for what? For what? Are we in serious times or not? You can't do that and then give the speech he gave last night telling us about how serious we are facing the challenges, how serious the challenges are that we are facing. You just can't do both. Or maybe you can. Read Daniel Boorstin's book, The Image, predicted this 40 years ago. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. We are doing this great event on March 26th. We're bringing in Mike Gallagher. We'll have Brandon Tatum, and I'll be on stage with those two. We'll be discussing the issues in this election with y'all. It's called Fighting for Freedom. It'll be great to have Mike Gallagher here with us. You can get tickets at 960thepatriot.com. We have a special discount code for listeners to this show. What is that code? Seth5Off. Seth, the number 5, OFF in the promotional window. But you can get them at 960thepatriot.com. We give away a pair of tickets every Friday, too. Do we have a winner this week? We certainly
do. Yes, we have a winner. We had several applicants this week. Thank you to all those who sent in their emails. Keep it up. But our winner this week is Kim Hurd. Kim Hurd, if you're out there listening right now, we will be reaching out to you.
H-E-A-R-D.
I'm sure she heard it.
Kim Hurd? Yeah. Okay, good. You were trying to tell me some more. You were trying to, over the break, you were trying to give me some more factoids.
Do you have a favorite State of the Union?
Do you know what a factoid is, actually? It's not a small fact. That's a misused word.
It's a fact from outer space.
It means it's not true. A factoid means it's not true. Do you know that?
Oh, and so that's why you're saying...
People misuse it all the time. They misuse it all the time. Factoid means not true.
I said, do you have a favorite State of the Union?
Anything Lincoln did.
And I said,
Second message to Congress. They were delivered to the Senate by the president of the Senate, I think, in those days.
They weren't addressed. They would have been written, sent by telegram.
But they were read aloud. They were read aloud to the Senate by the, I think, Secretary of State or the clerk of the House, maybe. That's right, though. You're right about that. Our friends at Issues and Insight. I told you the rule of holes. You need to learn the rule of holes, H-O-L-E-S. When you're in one, stop digging. Pertaining to the brothers Gibb, the BGs, yes. The Joe Biden presidency, our friends at Issues and Insights, right, has had its share of missteps, maybe more than any other administration before it. But the latest scandalous behavior is not an error in the eyes of this White House. In pursuit of cultural and political engineering that only the Democrats would ever consider, the administration has flown 320,000 illegal immigrants into the country directly from foreign airports. We've gone well beyond just extending the invitation. According to the Center for Immigration Studies, that's Mark Krikorian's group, he's a regular guest here, U.S. Customs and Border Protection has approved secretive flights that last year alone ferried hundreds of thousands of inadmissible aliens from foreign airports into some 43 American ones over the past year, all pre-approved on a cell phone app. I thought the promotion of that cell phone app was going to be weird. Something about it didn't sound quite right when that was first being bruited about by Alejandro Mayorkas. This was not disclosed at a news conference or at the Daily White House press briefing, but learned through a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that pried the information from an administration that clearly wanted to hide it. It's anyone's guess as to where these aliens have landed, by the way. The CBP has withheld the names of the airports that received 320,000 inadmissible aliens from January through December 2023. It is also refusing to reveal which foreign airports the immigrants departed from. Worse, the passengers are apparently unvetted, which suggests it is highly probable the groundwork is being laid for something far worse than 9/11. I didn't say that, by the way. Elon Musk did. The aliens who used the cell phone app called CBP1 and entered the country illegally, yet with the eager assistance of the federal government, are in essence paroled for 2 years. During that time, they are provided with a legal status during which adults are eligible for work authorization. Is this even legal? And does it somehow improve the common good of the American people? Or do the benefits accrue only to the political party that holds the White House and has been for years doing whatever it takes to consolidate unchallengeable and permanent political power? To ask those questions is to answer them. The White House has shown that it's the White House has shown that it's comfortable with violating the law to buy votes for the Democratic Party, and the Supreme Court told Biden that he could not forgive student loan debt as if he were a king, yet he did it anyway, then bragged about it. Not an act of mercy, but a cynical effort to shore up a voting bloc for his party. We're the threats to democracy, though, folks. Don't forget that. We're the threats. Friends, the folks at Midas Gold Group have told me the U.S. government and the Fed will have no choice but to eventually steer interest rates lower, because if they don't, the current level of interest rates will bankrupt the nation. There's no telling when the dam will break, but when it does, Midas wants to make sure you have flood insurance, in this case, gold. Call Midas Gold Group now. Look into the opportunities gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call 480-360-3000 or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Midas Gold Group is the nation's number one veteran-owned gold IRA firm. Protect your assets. Call 480-360-3000. That's 480-360-3000. Midas Gold Group, always faithful. MidasGoldGroup.com. There's Larry in Tempe, one of my favorite, most favorite people in the wide, wide world of sports. Hi, Larry.
Howdy, Seth. How wide, wide world of sports.
Do you remember that show? I think it was an old ABC. Oh, yeah. Frank Gifford and Jim McKay, and I probably
Jim
ought
McKay,
to stop.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. I remember. Looking forward to every time the Harlem Globetrotters would be on. Because that was just so fun. And I could see then. So I could watch them doing all their shenanigans. And
Meadowlark Lehman and Curly in those days. Yeah.
Yep. Curly Neal and Geese Osby. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep,
they were, good work.
Yeah.
Good
they
work.
They were a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch those. But so I called because I'm just astounded that I've never once in my 38 or 39 years of being blind, that it never once dawned on me to go find an actor who's acted a role as a blind person and talk to them about being blind.
Oh, if I had an award to give you, that is the call and line of the week. In 39 years of being blind, you are a blind a man who is blind.
I'm blind, yeah.
39 years of being blind, it never dawned on you to call a seeing actor who has played a blind person how you should get on in life. My God. Well, this is the...
I mean, think of the advice they could have given
me. Yes, yes. What would they have said?
It boggles the mind to think what they might have said. I think they would have been so astounded that I was asking them advice that...
You know what? If they had any sensibility at all, those actors, they would have said, you know, I think I'm going to take a pass on this one. It made everyone look ridiculous.
Yeah. If anything, if they would really have been thinking well, they would have said, you know, I don't have any advice for you, but I wish I'd have known you when I was preparing for this role. I would have asked your advice.
It really would have gone the other direction in a serious world. Yeah, it should have gone in the other direction. As long as you're willing to spend time with me on the phone or on a Zoom chat, we should have been asking you. Exactly. There's this funny thing, you know, everyone thought, are you familiar with the show Veep? V-E-E-P.
No.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus plays the vice president, and it's a send-up. It's hilarious. And then there's the show The West Wing with Martin Sheen from...
I've heard of it. Yeah. I've never watched it.
Everyone thought The West Wing was such a great depiction of how the White House works. Those who have worked there will tell you that the send-up of Veep is actually more accurate. It's a more accurate portrayal. But you make a really good point, Larry. Well, I was quoting Daniel Boorstin. He was the Librarian of Congress, very famous historian. You can read his books on America. They're great histories of America. A real scholar. He wrote a book in 1965 or 6 called The Image. And boy, was it prescient. He was talking about how in America, given the media, we are replacing reality with fakery. We are replacing reality with the imagery. It opens with that line, I think Kierkegaard's, of the woman walking her baby down the street, and the passerby says, "What a cute baby," and she says, "Oh, you ought to see the picture." You know? It's a serious issue, actually. We can no longer, and with AI, certainly, we are no longer going to be able to discern between the real and the fake, just as we've long past the line of understanding the difference between the critical and the frivolous.
Yeah. Part of what went through my mind with Biden and his staff thinking this was a good idea is how simple-minded they must think Americans are.
Yeah, yeah.
To think that, we're going to show them that we sought advice from these actors who... They may be great actors.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they are. I don't take anything from Michael Douglas, and or some of the others. But
they're dealing with presidential issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Merely from a script.
Yeah, and you know.
And yet,
Lunch Pail Joe. That's the other thing. Lunch Pail Joe. You know, good old blue collar Joe, talking to the Hollywood glitterati and sending it out through the White House channels. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually, if it wasn't so sad and frustrating, it'd be just purely laughable.
Well, it's insulting, I think, in some respects.
It is.
Now, someone told me, I made an issue of it on Twix, and someone said, lighten up, Leaps, and you can enjoy a good time. You can. I don't think anyone would accuse me of not liking a good time, on air or off, but it just looked so awful, and he looked so awful, and as I say, it was all for what point? Because, as I say, none of the advice was poured into the actual State of the Union speech. Maybe he's trying to do a fundraising push with Hollywood. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to look hip. He ended up looking square at best, to borrow from Huey Lewis. Anyway.
Yeah. He's my favorite from the 80s. But,
Huey Lewis is?
That's another story. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have rediscovered Huey Lewis lately. That's so interesting you say that. He is now on my running soundtrack. His stuff is so good. So good.
One of my favorite songs that they did, I'm sure it's recorded someplace, but I don't believe on an album. They did the national anthem at, and I can't remember for sure if it was a Major League Baseball All-Star game or World Series. I'm pretty sure it was Major League Baseball.
I think it was Major League Baseball.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
And it was a cappella.
Yeah.
And it was Huey Lewis and his group, the News.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Now, I'm a fan of harmony.
Well, maybe we'll go out with it somewhere in the next segment, or maybe we'll end the hour with it, if we can find it.
He was a talented man.
And those musicians behind him were tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he got an 800 on his SAT math. Smart guy. Yeah. Smart dude. Mm-hmm. Smart dude. Yeah. He's also in this documentary, We Are the World, and it's really good. If you have a chance to take that in, I can't say enough about it. Really good. All right, man. I love you, Larry. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the insight, intel, and laughter. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, portions of which are brought to you by our good friends at YRefi. Check them out at investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com, or call 888-YRefi24, 888-YRefi24. There are no fees with the investment YRefi is offering in a secure and collateralized portfolio. There is no attack on principal with YRefi if you ever need your money back. Of course, you get a monthly statement with no surprises, and you can turn your income on or off or compound it, whatever you like. Best of all, you can earn up to a 10.25% fixed rate of return, not correlated to the stock market or the Federal Reserve. Check them out, investyrefi.com. That's invest, the letter Y, then refy.com. Your Lays Majesty, young David, has really gotten our listener friend Christy going. She's sending me all these examples of what Captain Obvious might be teaching people, and sometimes wrongly, sometimes in errancy. So you did. Everything gets used here. Everything gets used. Even young David's factoids. The book, The Image, Daniel Boorstin, he says, that I was citing earlier, I can't tell you how good it is. You could probably get an inexpensive version for a buck or two because it's from 1965, paperback off Amazon or something, but B-O-O-R-S-T-I-N. What he says we are dominated by in life are pseudo-events. His phrase, pseudo-events. You think of the thing Larry was calling about. He writes, what ails us most is not what we have done with America, but what we have substituted for America. We suffer primarily not from our vices or our weaknesses, but from our illusions. We are haunted not by reality, but by those images we have put in place of reality. He writes, the disproportion between what an informed citizen needs to know and what he can know becomes ever greater. The disproportion grows with the increase of the official's powers of concealment and contrivance. The news gatherers need to select, invent, and plan correspondingly increases. So we are ever increasingly governed by what the media wants us to be moved by. What it decides or conceals or contrives should be important to us. That's worth thinking on, and especially worth thinking on when you look at the opening parts of Joe Biden's State of the Union. I should shush in respect to this.
For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.